This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
La ilaha illa hu, lahul asma'ul husna. Wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, sahibul maqamil mu'allam. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Khudil afwa. وأمر بالعرف وأعرض عن الجاهلين صدق الله العظيم. Honorable علماء, respected brothers, mothers and sisters, in this month of Ramadan, we seek the forgiveness of Allah with greater intensity. In this month of Ramadan, we are hopeful of the forgiveness of Allah to a greater extent. This month, this great month, is synonymous with maghfirah and forgiveness. There is no Muslim anywhere in the world who is not seeking forgiveness, but a different aspect to what I've just mentioned. Each one of us in this month, we're working for the desiring the forgiveness of Allah. We are seeking maghfirat and pardon from Allah. But how many of us are ready to forgive? How many of us are ready to forgive? This verse which I recited in my introduction, Allah says, instructing who? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khudil afwa. Khudil afwa. The brevity of time does not allow for us to go into the linguistics, because there's beauty and there's nuance in the meaning, if you look at the linguistics. But let me just say to you this way, that Allah tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, adopt a forgiving attitude. In other words, it's not about forgiving once off. It's not about forgiving a particular individual or over a particular occurrence. In general, a Muslim ought to have a forgiving attitude. Khudil afwa. Wa'mur bil urfi. And enjoin good. Wa'arid anil jahileen. In life, you'll always get those who are five bob short. So, let them be on their way and you be on your way. There's greater peace, there's greater emotional stability, and there's greater unity when you ignore the ignorant. When this verse was revealed and when this instruction was issued by Allah to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi of Allah asked Jibreel alayhi salam that elaborate and unpack. What does it mean? So Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam said those very famous words which are mentioned in the ahadith and the traditions. Sil man qata'ak. Sil man qata'ak. Build relations with those who are breaking relations. Wa'fu amman dhalamak. Forgive those who did wrong to you. Wa ahsin ila man asa'a ilayk. And be good to the one who's not been good to you. So as we move into these last 10 days and we are desirous of the forgiveness of Allah and we are aspiring for the forgiveness of Allah, it's also a moment of reflection that to what extent have I subscribed to this code of conduct which Allah made mandatory upon His Nabi and which He in turn advocated for every ummati. Sil man qata'ak wa'fu amman dhalamak wa ahsin ila man asa'a ilayk. You know, it's an irony. And even that would be an understatement, that we're desiring the forgiveness of Allah, but we're not willing to forgive. Just breaking any one command of Allah is so serious because of the greatness of the being whose command you are breaking, that all the people in our lifespan who have done wrong to us, their collective wrongdoing is not equivalent to our one wrongdoing, because they transgress the rights of a mere mortal, we transgress the rights of Rabbul Alameen. And we have asked and we are asking and we will ask to Allah that, oh Allah, do not forgive only one, but forgive all. Don't only forgive it, Allah, but substitute it with good deeds. Don't forgive only my sins as it is now. Forgive my sins as they will continue up to my last breath. So we're seeking that degree of pardon from Allah. Allah is willing to give it to us. Allah is willing to embrace us in that regard. When are we going to start let go of that baggage that we are carrying? The people who have wronged us, who have hurt us, who have transgressed our rights, but we still have not brought ourselves to the point of properly and thoroughly and fully forgiving them for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. To forgive is also sunnah. Forgive for the pleasure of Allah. It is sunnah. We should not constrain and we should not limit the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only to the actions of eating, drinking and sleeping. Those are great sunan. But the characteristics, the qualities and the values of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is also part of the sunnah. If you look at other verses of the Quran, Allah says, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. Allah addressing the Prophet ﷺ said, if you were very harsh, hard-hearted, firm, aggressive in your approach, even though the Sahaba are the greatest group of companions ever granted to any human, even they would not have managed. وَخْفِدْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Lower your wings for the believers. Why is it today we want to be held? We want to be held to the yardstick of forgiveness, but we don't want to hold anyone else to that same yardstick. We want Allah to forgive us, even though we repeat the same mistakes time and again, but we're not willing to show the same kind of attitude to forgive others, even though they repeat the same transgression time and again. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ. That's the instruction of the Quran. Adopt an attitude of forgiveness. You know, to put it bluntly, it has a lot to do with our egos. Who are we that we feel we cannot forgive? Who are we? Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, we read the story and we like the whole romantic element about it. I remember one scholar said, you'll do the whole tafsir of Surah Yusuf and at the end the only question will be, did Yusuf marry Zulaikha? That's the only question. You know, we grew up with all those soapies and all that novel, so we see everything from the prism, from the perspective and from the lens of romance. Did he marry her? Didn't he marry her? That is inconsequential to the story. What is consequential is that here's a boy who in his infancy is snatched from the lap of not an ordinary father, but the father who's a Nabi. He's snatched not from an ordinary house, but a house of Nubuwa. He's not discarded in some faraway place. He's discarded to the bottom of a dark well. He's not snatched by some ordinary person with a nefarious intention. He's snatched by those who are making slaves. He's not taken in by some people with good intention. He's taken in by a woman who wants to use him for her own perverted desires. The consequence of all of that is not that he leads a tough life. It is that he becomes jailed and his reputation takes a knock. And after all of that, when he's in a position of power and authority, when he could make the perpetrators against him feel the pain that they made him feel, that's when he says, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. I'm not going to hold you to account today. Actually, I will make dua to Allah that he should forgive you. يغفر الله لكم. And he was so sincere in his forgiving attitude that even in his solitude when he's making dua to Allah, he does not blame his brothers. He says, مِن بَعْدِ أَنَّزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. Allah, I don't blame my brothers. Shaitan came in between us. This is a man who was snatched from the lap of his father, who had to be taken from the bottom of a well, who had to see his father lose his eyesight over the separation. Yet he could bring himself to the position of saying, I forgive you. There are no grudges. There's no resentment. There's no hatred. What didn't Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam go through? What didn't the Meccans do to his children? To Zainab radiallahu anha, who was stabbed while she was on the camel. To Fatima radiallahu anha, who used to scream due to pangs of hunger in the valley of Abu Talib during the boycott. Yet when he comes in a position of authority, power and might, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. Today is a day of forgiveness. Aisha radiallahu anha says, when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descended to tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam who the man was who was responsible for sihr and black magic against him. So here there was no Amil speculating. No, this was Jibreel confirming via revelation that is the man. Aisha radiallahu anha says, the next morning, it was Labid bin Asam and he was a hypocrite, he was pretending to be a Muslim. Yet, the next morning when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met him, he met him with the same smile and the same warmth that he met him with the day before he was given the knowledge. Before he was given the information. To forgive for the pleasure of Allah is also sunnah. As we desire the forgiveness of Allah in this month, it's about time we let go of that baggage. It's compromising our own happiness. Take the message to the families as well. People may have done wrong to you, but the more you carry it, the more it compromises your own contentment, your own happiness. It's like walking a long distance, but you have the thorn in your shoe, which you're not removing. It constantly agitates you. It constantly creates restlessness and unnecessary anxiety. At some point, for your own health, for your own goodness, for your own peace of mind, you need to let go. And Allah says, if you do it for my pleasure, I'll forgive you. You know, if you don't forgive, what will you get? Let's say someone wrongs you. You don't forgive. You'll be able to claim your right on the day of Qiyamah. And you'll get what is due to you. But if you forgive for the pleasure of Allah, you'll get much more than what would have been given to you if you were to claim your right by not forgiving. So it is to your advantage in this world, and it is to your advantage in the akhirah, to forgive for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yes, people sometimes do hurtful things. We live with humans, not with angels. But the reason Allah emphasizes forgiveness is because as humans, we cannot live in isolation. We have to live with one another. And when you live with one another, temperaments are different, values are different. People have their own idiosyncrasies. They have their own weird ways. But if we cannot learn to tolerate and forgive one another, we will never be united. That whole talk of unity of the ummah will remain a pipe dream. So whatever the mother-in-law did to the daughter-in-law, whatever happened over the inheritance, whatever the one brother said because the two wives were quibbling or squibbling, we need to go beyond that. And Allah says, the more you are willing to forgive others, the more Allah flings open His doors of forgiveness. What greater insult can there be than those who insulted Aisha radiallahu anha with the accusation of adultery? And there was that one sahabi who was getting a stipend from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was getting a monthly assistance. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, in that state of emotion, said, I give you money and you still take part in the accusation against my daughter. And Allah sends revelation, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَسْفَحُوا. Overlook and forgive. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you desire that Allah should forgive you? Like you desire Allah should forgive you, forgive others for the pleasure of Allah. So if Abu Bakr was instructed to forgive, if Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was instructed to forgive, who are we, honestly? Why is it that we can't bring ourselves, even in this great month of Ramadan, when hearts are soft, when the devil is shackled, when the nafs is suppressed, to say, I am going to forgive for the pleasure of Allah? Who is that man who was a jannati? You remember the famous narration when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sahaba, this is the jannati, and Abdullah bin Amr went to accompany him. And what he said, every night before I go to bed, I clean my heart. I don't do much in terms of nafil ibadah. I don't do much in terms of the extra. But every night before I go to bed, I clean my heart. I say, oh Allah, whoever I have wronged, you put it in their heart to forgive me. And whoever has wronged me, I forgive them for your pleasure. These are the values of Islam. This is also a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Ramadan is not only about coming back to salah and reconnecting with fast and increasing in recitation and spending more time in the masjid. It's also about rekindling these values and the true spirit of Islam. One day, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is the most beloved of people to you? And Allah said, man idha qadara ghafara. The person who has the ability to take revenge, yet he opts for forgiveness. You know, forgiveness is not truly forgiveness when you have no choice. Like when the wife did something wrong, but you know if you don't forgive, you're not going to get iftar. Then that's not genuine forgiveness, right? That you're just swallowing, it's called a tactical retreat. You put it on a back burner to bring it out another day. If the boss does something wrong to you, and you say, no problem, sir. That's a fake. That's a fake utterance. You're smiling, but you're swearing him from inside. But when you are the boss, when you have the ability to exact revenge and you opt for forgiveness, then you are being an ummati of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he was at the head of a 10,000 strong Muslim army who could have annihilated the Meccans, who put them through 13 years of hell. Who didn't leave them even when they migrated to Medina. Left no stone unturned in making their life difficult. But you know what? If they took revenge on that day, perhaps you and I would not be proclaiming the Kalima in the southernmost tip of Africa. When you forgive, you conquer. When you forgive, you prosper. When you forgive, you succeed. When you forgive, you succeed. You know, even psychologists have written, I got a bit of a habit of reading these books. Not that there is anything in there which we don't have in our deen, but it just helps us to show that the beauty of our deen is appreciated by others without them realizing that Islam has taught this to the world 1400 years ago. They say it's good for your mental health, for your emotional health, and for your physical health to forgive people. They don't believe in reward, they don't believe in Jannah. They say for your own health, internal and external, you should forgive people, you should let go of the resentment, you should let go of that desire for vengeance. Because the more you forgive, the more you pool your energy towards that which is constructive and useful. You know, when you're carrying baggage, when you're carrying hurt and pain and anger, no matter what the wrong is, and no matter for how long the wrong was perpetrated against you, you're always restless. You come into the masjid, you're supposed to be performing salah, but you're thinking about what that person did to you. You're with your wife, you're supposed to be in a moment of romance, but you're thinking about, and that anger is swelling within you. So even from a psychological perspective, we need to start letting go. We need to focus on that which is important. Life is too short. In the greater scheme of the akhirah, all of those things over which we had issues and over which we felt hurt and pain will be inconsequential. Forgive for the pleasure of Allah, it is also sunnah. Forgive for the pleasure of Allah, it is also sunnah. You know, I read a very beautiful quote. They say, forgiveness doesn't change the past, but it can enlarge the future. Think about Taif, the lowest moment in the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Meccans drive him out. He's just lost his wife and he's lost his uncle, his two greatest rocks of support. He goes to Taif thinking, perhaps, maybe there, I'll get some support, some assistance. They treat him even worse. They send the children to drive him out. They get the children to pelt him. His shoes are clogged with blood. Emotionally, the Nabi of Allah was in a state. Yet, when he was given the option, vengeance against the people of Ta'if for forgiveness, he chose forgiveness. That's why you and I today, when you go for Umrah, you can go to Ta'if. It's full of Muslims. The miqat is in Ta'if. Ta'if is a Muslim city because the Nabi of Allah chose forgiveness. There's another quote that I read. They say, when someone does something wrong, don't forget all the things that they did right. Don't forget all the things that they did right. Many times, the devil magnifies, he amplifies the wrong that was perpetrated against us. But the many good things that were done by the same perpetrator, we tend to forget. We tend to trivialize it. We tend to minimize it. We tend to push it to the periphery in terms of our mind. And then we kind of hone in with the superimposed focus on that one wrong or those few wrongs that were done. Look at it from the perspective that Allah wants us to look at it. Khudil afwa. Allah instructs us, adopt an attitude of forgiveness. This was a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me conclude by saying this. Allah takes it one step further. Allah says, forgive, right? Remember the hadith which I narrated in the beginning. Sil man qata'ak. Build ties with those who are breaking ties. Wa'fu amman dhalamak. Forgive those who do wrong to you. And then, if you want to be a true Muslim, if you want to be a champion Muslim, if you want to be an above average Muslim, you see, in every other aspect of life, we want to be above average. I don't want to have the average garb. I don't want to have the average car. I don't want to have the average wife. I don't want to have the average kid. I don't want to have the average home. I want above average, if not closest to the top level. So why as Muslims, we suffice with mediocrity? Why don't we want to become champion Muslims? Above average Muslims. Muslims who pursue excellence in terms of the teachings of Islam. And if you pursue excellence in terms of the teachings of Islam, then this is the teaching which I am superimposing for you today. Where Allah says in the Quran, idfa' billati hiya ahsan. Today the odds are stacked against us. As an ummah, the whole world has become very negative in their thought and in their approach towards Muslims. Muslims have been demonized. Individually, we're all caught up in our rat races. But if we don't forgive for the pleasure of Allah, who is there left with whom you're going to have a relationship? Because as humans, we're weak. We're frail. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ هَلُوعًا. Your own father will wrong you at some point. Your own son will show disrespect or inappreciation. Your own wife will retort in a way that will break your heart. Your own husband will do something that will shatter your confidence. But if we're going to hold a grudge against everyone, who is there left with whom we're going to have a relationship? As an ummah, if we are going to be continuously hostile and aggressive, we're never going to win over people. Look at the bigger picture. Look at the bigger picture. Allah says, when you retaliate in a way that's better, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ, then your sworn enemy becomes your bosom companion. You want to prosper in life, learn the art of genuine and sincere forgiveness. On the occasion of the conquest of Makkah, there was an execution list. Those people who were guilty of the most heinous crimes. And the Nabi of Allah said that they are to be executed because of the heinous crimes. Then the Nabi of Allah stepped up and pardoned all of them. And what was the result? Each one of their families and progenies embraced the deen. Had they been executed, perhaps they would have been in continuous legacy of resentment. On the occasion of the conquest of Makkah, when Ikrimah fled, this was Ikrimah, the son of Abu Jahl. He left no stone unturned in trying to match his father in causing harm to the Muslims. When his wife sought amnesty for him and the Nabi of Allah granted it, when Ikrimah was on his way back, look at what the Nabi of Allah told the Sahaba. He knew their blood was boiling. This was Ikrimah. This was no ordinary enemy. He said, you know what? When Ikrimah comes, don't say anything bad about his father. His father did what he did and he's gone and he'll have to pay for it. By saying anything bad, you're not adding to the woes of Abu Jahl, but you're only going to cause inconvenience to the emotions of Ikrimah. This is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we have forgotten about. When Ikrimah saw this kind of charming manners and wonderful behavior, he not only embraced Islam, he then led the rest of his life to trying to do as much as he did against Islam for Islam. I leave you with this. Because the Nabi of Allah had adopted a forgiving attitude. Think about this. Because the Nabi of Allah had adopted a forgiving attitude, and because he retaliated in a way that was better, those who were at one stage ready to spill his blood, at the later stage they became ready to drink his blood. That kind of transformation in society, that kind of transformation in the world will not happen with might. It will not happen with force. It will not happen with aggression. It will not happen with demanding every inch of your rights. It can only happen when you adopt an attitude of forgiveness. I'll conclude by saying what I said in the beginning, that this month of Ramadan is the month wherein the forgiveness of Allah is available to a greater extent. It's the month wherein we aspire to a greater extent for the forgiveness of Allah. It is the month wherein we seek the forgiveness of Allah to a greater extent. In our quest to seek the forgiveness of Allah, let us not forget to start forgiving others. The more we forgive others, the greater our chances to be forgiven by Allah. May Allah grant me and all of us the understanding. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.